Blog Talk Radio.
Listen up, bozos. Diamond Dallas Page here, the AWA's Diamond Exchange. And I'm here with the kings of the universe. We're talking the AWA Tag Team Champs of the World, Bad Company. And we're talking B-A-double-D, Bad. Woo, baby.
Dallas, you look great. How are you today?
I never had a bad day in my life, Daddy. And why not? I am the world's greatest professional wrestling manager in the world. A mastermind of the sport with great looks. Brains? Good God, it's a deadly combination.
It's this man, Diamond Dallas Page, against the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Savage, you want to come into my real world? I'm going to snap into yours.
What?
Savage, when your buddy had Diamond Dallas had Savage.
Raven, I haven't forgotten everything you've done to me.
Got him!
Oh, he got him!
There's only one Diamond Cutter! David Cutter by Page! It's one, two, three!
Oh, we've got a new world champion, guys!
And it's DDP!
DDP, he earned it, he fought it! It's power! They all did!
In history, Diamond Dallas Page is the heavyweight champion of the world!
Say that again, Tony!
Diamond Dallas Page is the heavyweight champion of the world! I can't believe it!
Four competitors that went into the ring that has never worn the World Heavyweight Championship, but Diamond Dallas Page on Sunday, April the 11th, 1999, at Street Stampede has made history.
Well, I'd say unless your parents change their mind, I'm going to have to visit the 18th birthday.
Who is it?
Have you done your yoga today? DDP, I like me, you like me, and I'm going to help you like you.
Good God! Snap into this. I mean, I remember that like it was yesterday, man. That was just something that came to me right at the end of that promo, man. I was like, where did that come from? Of course, with Savage and all this snap into this with his Slim Jim promos that he was doing at the time and was still hot and heavy. So that definitely resonated. So snap into the new year. I got my boys here, Robert. Robert and on the queue again, and I got Doug Steffen. Is Stacy in the queue yet?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Stace. I want to welcome you guys in to our back on Blog Talk. You know, the power, the wrestling station was good and it got accessibility to people. But a lot of the people who listen to DDP Radio, you know, a lot of the people who listen to it, they call in. You know, they might be driving their car, you know, and they can just call the number, and I'm going to throw that number out at anybody right now, just to let you know if you want to call in later and ask some questions, because I got a really special guest today, and I'll bring him up in a moment. But if you want to call in, 347-994-1216. So write it down if you got it. Want to get some questions out there. It's 347-994-1216. And we'll be taking questions later on in the show. I'm really excited about this year, man. I am pumped up. 2011. This year, April 5th, I will turn 55. Now, if you take those two hands, 5 and 5, and you put them together, you got one thing. It's called a diamond cutter. And I'm calling this the year of the diamond cutter. Going to be a lot of changes. Got a lot of exciting things happening. For starters, my buddy Chuck Zito, who is a good buddy of my buddy who's going to be coming on here, our special guest, Chuck Zito and I are going out with two shows in January. Unfortunately, he just tore his knee out. You know, here's this guy doing his mixed martial arts 6 nights a week, and he slips on the ice. One of the baddest son of a bitches alive, and tweaks his knee and got to get surgery, tore his meniscus. So my boy's laid up for a couple of weeks, but it won't keep us down. We're going to be heading out with those shows. We're hoping to get out there in January, maybe even no later than February. And the other show I'm really excited about is I'm calling it DDP's Changing Lives, which is pretty much what YRG and the whole lifestyle thing is about. So that's the name I'm going to put on it for right now, until they change it. For right now, it'll be DDP Changing Lives, and I'll talk about that probably next week. because I got a special guest and I want to bring him on here. Another thing that is making a shift change is finally I've given YRG a name. In other words, what does YRG stand for? Well, because we've had so many people do so many incredible things, have done such incredible transformations, that is now standing for You're Ready, Go. You're ready to lose 50 pounds? You're ready to lose 100 pounds? You're ready to lose 200 pounds? Go. You're ready to get in the best shape of your life? Go. I'm getting ready to retool what I'm calling DDP's Zero Impact Fitness to a whole nother level. I'm going to take the workouts that we already have, which are great, but I'm going to bring in some new ones, the new stuff I've been doing, but I'm also going to get some workouts for kids. And I got an idea from one of my YRGers out there. She said her kids said, when they hulk it up, you can have them turn green. I was like, for little kids, that would be funny. You know, but I'm also going to put out these workouts that are Mad Men workouts. And these workouts are, I'm really heading them towards the UFC fighters out there, because these guys are in such amazing shape that, they're working out, training, from what I, and we'll get, when I bring my guest here, we'll let him tell us in more detail. A lot of them are training 5 or 6 hours a day, and a lot of them get hurt heading into the fights. So my thought is to put together an hour to an hour and a half YRG workout, which is not only going to increase their cardiovascular conditioning, it's going to teach them how to breathe in uncomfortable positions. Hey, Charlie. It's also going to be Mad Men workouts. I've been working on with a couple of my boys that are really amazing shape, and they're like, dude, come on, you're not going there. So I know when I got them selling that I'm on the right route. So we got a lot of new exciting things with DDP Zero Impact Fitness, and the whole site's going to be changing around in the next couple months, and I will bring it to you as we move through the paces. Right now, I want to bring on a buddy of mine that I met not that long ago, but I've had a lot of respect for him over the years because so much he's accomplished. He is a UFC, good segue from the UFC, UFC Hall of Famer back in the embryonic stages, and he's still fighting today. And matter of fact, I believe he held all three titles at one time and was an NWA world champion on top of that. And with no further ado, I want to bring on my man, my buddy, Dan the Beast Severin. How you doing, brother?
I am doing great there, DDB, and yourself.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, right now I feel like I run right through a wall. Yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now, pumped up.
You gave up the abbreviation, that YRG, ready, you're ready, go. To me, it's like, that should be just year-round growth.
Dude! Write that down, Stacey.
Okay. Year-round growth. I mean, don't just wait. I mean, you can start at any point in time. It's year-round.
I tell you, I was so taken back because I met Dan, for starters, when what were we going? Was it called The Gathering? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Tell the people a little about The Gathering, Dan.
I don't know. Most people probably think this is pure fantasy. It was being involved in two different worlds, the world of mixed martial arts / the predecessor, No Holds Barred. But my first profession I was involved with since the 92 Olympics was professional wrestling. And, I mean, I've walked away certain cliches from the professional wrestling world that I am not startled by anything anymore. But I have to admit, being at The Gathering, there's a whole different call it shock value, just seeing a whole different side of life, being a part of something that definitely – You will remember for the rest of your life. I don't even know really how to put it truly into words. What all experience? It's something that definitely I will remember. Maybe I was scarred by it. I'm not sure at all.
I'll give you a little segue. The Gathering, for those of y'all who listen, ICP, which is the Insane Clown Posse. Now, these guys, they are insane. They put on a wild show, and they're really good guys, though. I mean, they're down-to-earth cats. There's no screwing around, with backstage, because they take their wrestling seriously. But they put this show on, and there's got to be 25,000 kids there. And we were late, right, Dan? We're late. We're late for the show. The show starts at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, I mean, but the setting is it's out in it's supposed to be at like a state park, but I think it's something that's owned by them because it's out in the middle of Nowheresville. But there's stages. I mean, there's probably hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment that is strewn throughout this forest/campground. I mean, it is incredible. As one thing is taking place and it's shut down, the next stage halfway across this campground, it's firing right back on up. It's just incredible what's taking place. And that was just our show. But there was another show that started then around 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning. And that was just – it's incredible. It's like a marathon, an Ironman type of a contest.
You know, when I first – now we're late. And Dan's like, Diamond, you – never experienced anything. Just like, oh, Dan, come on, I've been all over the world. I've experienced something like it. He goes, okay, you tell me. When you get there, you tell me if you've ever experienced anything like this. He goes, this could scar you for life. I'm like, come on, man. So as we're driving up, and we don't know where exactly we're coming from. We don't know, you know, what, you know, how to get in because, I mean, there's security all over the place and guys waving in and areas are blocked off, and as we finally get into the campground, it's the kind of place, if you saw your 16-year-old daughter there, you would lose your mind. I mean, because this is like a place you don't want her anywhere near for, you know, for 5 days of partying and, you know, music and wrestling, and they've got midget wrestling and just a whole group of midgets wrestling at one point. Then they have, you know, the guys wrestling, the pros wrestling, and then they're, like you said, there's another one that starts at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was like insane. So, you go out and they throw stuff. If they're mad at you, you know, and they don't even have to be mad at you. You just got to, you know, they don't like you. They're throwing stuff and stuff that you don't even want to hear about.
And again, their beverage of choice is Faygo Pop. They like to sip to take these 2-liter bottles, take the cap off, shake them a few times, and lob them like a hand grenade. And as it hits, it is like blowing up all over the place. It's sheer madness of what you're seeing. First time I was there, and I'm watching this match where these guys, they look like they're supposed to be just moving targets.
You don't want
to stand still. You don't want to stand still at any point in time. I'm like, holy moly, this is like hazard pay type of situation that you're walking into right now. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, that was funny because you said my price went up when I came here because it's so crazy out there. So that's where we met, and I think we left there to leave the show around 6:30 in the morning, and head back to catch our planes and head off to whatever destinations we were headed to from there, and I sent Dan the YRG workouts and never followed back up on it to see how he liked it. And then I got he sends out an email. What is your email? People want to get on your email list, Dan. How do they do that?
Well, the best thing is if they go to my website, just dan7.com. I mean, the email address, all that is on there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Too hard
that's what I mean.
To explain it.
Yeah, so dan7.
Yeah, dan7.com is the best thing to go with because I do so many different types of things. But, you know, the thing that really just blew me away about your YRG program, a couple of different fold right there, because when you first told me what it was based on, but then after I get a chance to see then the actual DVDs, but even more was being in Atlantic City there, sharing the booth space with you, watching these workouts firsthand. It's not for the meek whatsoever. So when you are talking about ramping things up, pushing towards the MMA market. There's a lot of MMA guys right now I know that can't do probably what might be your regular guys' YRG type programs, or maybe the fat burn. It might be too tough for them already. They might be tapping out on you.
Yeah, but see, Danny, what you saw was that level where I was heading to. That's the upper end level. I actually, like, I'm doing
okay.
Like, if anybody's listening, they want to check out Matt Vesic, who's one of the guys, I started with him a month ago. I met him at our My Picky Eaters, which don't let me forget to talk about My Picky Eaters, Stacy. And I want to make sure we get what we're going to be doing with that and what's happening with the book and also what's happening with the website, okay? But what I I lost my train of thought there. Where was I, Stacey?
My big eaters.
Yeah. No, I was talking about.
You're talking about the
guy,
workouts, taking them to the
yeah.
new level.
Thank you for my ADD boy. But the Matt Besick has his. We're doing a YouTube documentary, and he started at 439 pounds, and we have his first workout. And we just did his second workout because I would do it once a month with him when he comes by and see where he's at. And he really had a lot of improvement. He lost 20 pounds this month. But if you saw how simplistic this workout is, because anybody can go, Arthur, you saw Arthur, the disabled veteran. You know, if you modify it, now, if you, someone like you, Dan, you know, you, it's tough for you to check your ego at the door. You know, you're going to go out there.
Oh, no, trust me. I was watching the kind of stuff. I said I would be whimpering at some of the things that you were doing right there. I would be tapping out because it's, I know what my limitations are on certain things right there. So it's kind of like, no, I'm, even when I run my own practice stuff like this, I say don't let your ego overrule you at times. There are times when people need to back off, and then there's times when maybe you need to push yourself a little bit more. But it's your routine is not for the faint of heart, that's for sure.
Well, not when I'm trying to grab people who are in that, you know, genre of fighters and people who want to get in amazing shape. Then you're absolutely right. You better bring your A game or be able to modify. And if you remember, one of our guys there was, besides Doug, who's with us there, but Doug's a warrior. He can do anything, was Mikey. And Mikey, you know, started us at 5'4", 377 pounds. And, you know, he was down 110 pounds by the time we got to that workout. And
wow.
You know, he did all four of those workouts that day, dude, at 267 and 5'4". And still today, he'll hit like a couple of workouts a day. And he's on that path, you know, to get down that 200, you know, actually, I guess he wants to get down 200-plus pounds. You know, so, and it's working, you know, step by step. Okay, let's get off all that. Let's get off of that. And let's go to, I want to know a little bit about the Beast. You know, I want to know,
let me ask you one quick question first. You said Chuck Zito, hooking up with him. Are you going to be out in Atlantic City for the end of, not the end of January, but around that 21st, 22nd? Is that the time frame?
I know he was going to be booked out. I'm not going to be booked out. He might still show up, but he's injured right now. He's on injured reserve. And
he's typically at the Action Martial Arts Hall of Fame that takes place. I would be out there in Atlantic City at that same time.
Well, I would love to see you, but I'll have to be the next one because I know we're doing one in April. We're doing that one in April for James. So hopefully we'll hook up with that. So give the people here some of your background, where you come from.
Well, I mean, my background is, I mean, you know, probably wind up getting more public notoriety would be once I started in my professional career, first in professional wrestling. As I tell people, I've been a competitor in the amateur sport of wrestling since 1969. I've actually been traveling domestically around the United States since 72 and internationally since 76. I've been to every state in the United States. I've been to every country that has ever had a wrestling program, and some countries that don't even exist anymore like there used to be in East Germany. And I've been there four different times while the Berlin Wall was in effect, while the Iron Curtain was there, was part of the Cold War movement when, you know, Russia is flexing their muscles and puffing up their chest saying, yeah, we've got nuclear power. United States, yeah, we've got nuclear power. No one's pushing buttons, but they were trying to show dominance through athletic. And it was just really an honor and stuff like that to represent the United States during those times, because it was some of the toughest competition I probably have ever experienced in my life. But since 92, first starting off in professional wrestling, working with the National Wrestling Alliance, eventually working with the WWF, now known WWE, and then I started the exit. That was in 92, and by 94, the Ultimate Fighting Championships came about. I jumped in that. I've had kind of a dual career ever since, but I ended up, you know, starting kind of later in life, and I never really planned on doing it quite as long as I have here right now, but I've been very fortunate health-wise, and I'm usually pretty well prepared when I go into matches, but the reality is I'm hoping to be done here in the next couple years. My goal is to be done competing in mixed martial arts by 2013. I just have a couple select matches that I am doing my own self-directed retirement tour. And basically, I'm contacting athletes personally. I'm not trying to go through their agents, their people. I'm simply just putting them on the spot. Hey, DDP, what about?
Got
then,
it.
You know, now when I get, I hear it right from the horse's mouth, and then now it's from that point, I'm going to a third person and getting it going. So I just do a lot of different things, almost too many things really to talk about. That's why I always push. Go to dan7.com, and you'll see a guy that probably still doesn't know what he wants to be when he grows up, just because I do so many different things.
You know, I noticed that the Beast, especially when Stacy did some of the backstory on you, that the Beast is actually inspirational. Now, was that explain the letters of the Beast?
Well, I came up with this. I'm a very positive-driven person, and again, depending on what your religious backgrounds and things of nature, the Beast has a lot of negative connotations there to it. I'm a very positive person, so I simply said that. The word the, T-H-E, stands for Dan Severn. I'm a teacher, humanitarian, and I'm an educator. My message to young people and to people in general is Beast, to believe in yourself, to educate yourself, to adjust your everyday attitude, to study hard, and then to teach others. So as you gather all this information, you help other people by simply giving it back.
That was strong, you know, because, you know, and it makes sense how you came up with year-round growth.
I mean, you have to continue. I mean, it's the cliches of use it or lose it. It's never too late to start, and it has been shown and through studies that whether you start at 70 or 80 years of age, you can still build muscles. You can still put bone density, because as you get older and you fall down, you're more apt to end up breaking a bone, breaking a hip or something of this nature, because you've lost so much calcium out of your bones through the loss. But doing any type of an exercise program will help keep your bones that much denser, less possibility of end up breaking an egg. So, because everyone wants to live longer, and they want quality of life. But if they do not invest any time into it, then basically they're like wishing they win the lotto. That's about all they're going to end up doing from it. They won't get anything more out of life. What you get into it is what you get out of it.
Yeah, and then that's what I tell people all the time about the wires you work out. You know, you're told, oh, we'll see if it works. It's like, we'll see if it works. We'll see if you work.
you can give a guarantee. You do the program, I guarantee it will work. That, I mean, you put the thing is, will you commit to it?
Yeah,
that's the biggest problem with that. There's a lot of different great programs, great diet things of nature. It's can people actually adhere to it? You know, the thing is, we're still just human nature. I've had my own moments where weight has definitely fluctuated this way and that way, and I've got my clothes that say, yeah, when I used to be probably 30, 40 pounds, a little bit heavier or something like that. But, you know, as long as you never stop going after it. I mean, you may have your lows, okay? You pick yourself, you fall down, okay? I get myself back up, dust myself off. Keep going after it again and again. As long as you don't ever stop engaging it, then you'll do just fine.
I'll tell you, you know, you talk about the, you lose it, you lose it. One of the things that, because I was cramming my, feet into my boots and my cowboy boots and all that stuff for years, your toes, if you don't use them, you lose them. And they actually got to a point where they were stuck together. And I'm like, man, this is not good, So I started doing some kind of separation with them. And then they got these things called yoga toes where you can put them between your toes, like to spread them. And then they got these new things. Doug, what are they called, those shoes that we got?
Five fingers.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the one. I have the individual toes that you put them on. Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but I see them. It's very gritty.
They're called Vibram Five Fingers.
Yeah, Doug and I came across them one day when we both got them, and then I got some even better ones. And I'll tell you, my toes, now I can move them. I can spread them. You watch old people, and they walk on the middles of their feet. They don't use their toes. That's why they have the only spring in their step. Like you said, if you don't use it, you lose it. So for me,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that became something that was really, you know, something that I became aware of, and, you know, I'm now fixing that. You know, there's always some place to go.
Well, to elaborate a little bit more about the foot situation, for so many years being an amateur wrestler, always wearing amateur wrestling shoes. Again, you wanted to keep a shoe that was on nice and tight, stuff like this, because you didn't want any loose movement, because you didn't want to lose, you know, partial steps, stuff like this, when you're trying to attack an opponent out there. Same way my feet were starting to get like that. When I started getting involved in the no-holds-barred and the mixed martial arts, they did allow shoes in the beginning, but your restrictions was if you wore a pair of shoes, you were not allowed to kick anybody, you were not allowed to stomp anybody, and that was not in my repertoire in the first place. I still opted to wear shoes up to the point when they finally said, no, shoes are banned altogether. Now, me going out there barefoot for the first time ever, talk about the biggest pansy in the world. We're talking to here right now. I mean, my feet were just were virgin material. I was like so pasty white, so non-flexible.
What year was that? What year was that?
Oh, well, basically probably around that 95, 96.
Right.
And again, depending, it was the mixed martial arts world or no holds barred world was changing, and state by state, different rules were being starting to be implemented. Now, on a pro level across the United States. I don't even know what the number is. It's probably 30, the high 30s of states that allow mixed martial arts to take place. And on a professional level, they simply adhere to the unified rules. So they're the same rules no matter what state you go to. Now, when it comes to an amateur level, there's quite a few states that they simply just do not government. A lot of these same states, they'll just have these younger athletes simply just adhere to the same unified rules. They just go 3-minute rounds versus 5-minute rounds, and that's where you see a lot of young amateur fighters getting hurt because they're not well-versed enough and then to be hit with a knee to a head or an elbow or something like this, that they get lacerated, and these guys don't have health benefits and things of that nature. So it's not good. You're seeing, again, more and more movement taking place. I live in the state of Michigan, and I'm very active in working with the State Athletic Commission to get something in place for the safety of the athletes.
That's smart. That's really great. You know, I know you do a lot with all that. You also spent a lot of time with the police, too. I mean, I understand you do a lot of teaching them mixed martial arts as well.
Well, matter of fact, just earlier today at 9 o'clock this morning, I was in the Phoenix metropolitan area working with the I can't believe Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I'm working with their sheriff's group. There's probably about 25 to 30 defensive police instructors or other officers, both between corrections and then officers that would walk the beat. I've been involved in the law enforcement sector for probably about 14, 15 years now, and corrections for about a couple years less than that. A lot of the same materials, it just used differently in the two different applications.
Sweet,
so
man.
I just look at taking. I mean, honestly, the DVP. I mean, what I look at that when what good really comes from fighting? I mean, a lot of people, you know, they've seen me in action. They've seen what I've done to people. There's a lot of highlight things. I mean, I've been involved in some of the ugliest highlights of what I've done to people in the name of competition. And the ironic part is, they find it hard to believe that I've never been in a fist fight in my entire life. They're like, but dude, look what you do. Look what you've done to people. I go, that was competition. There were rules. I abided by the rules. There were no rules infraction. But a lot of people don't realize when the no-holds-barred industry first began, there was only two rules. Do not bite your opponent. Do not stick your fingers in his eyes.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal back then when you were there,
people,
bro.
People just can't believe what you could do between punching guys in the throat, pulling their hair, fish-hooking them, kneeing them in the lower extremities and stuff. I just stomped their foot. It was ugly. When I was first rolling on, I even shared this story with the law enforcement there earlier today. I said, in the beginning, when I was rolling around with my guys, I'd be rolling around and going simulated striking, but I'd reach up there and grab their ear, and then I'd release, and then I would roll around a little more, reach up and grab the other ear, and they're like, dude, what are you doing to me? I said, I just ripped your ear off. I'm like, dude, you can't do that to me. I go, the only two things I can't do to you is bite you and stick my fingers in your eyes. I said, otherwise, you're mine. and I didn't do it, and I stick my elbow in their eye socket, start to push on down, and like,
oh,
you,
God.
Know, you can't do that. I go, did I do a violation yet? No. I said, but I, John McCarthy, the one guy, you know, a big John referee there for the Ultimate Fighting Championship for so many years. He's like 70, he says, I can't believe the way that you do things. And he says, you know what these rules are, and that you use them. And you use them to protect myself, but I also use them to gain a great deal of leverage. You know, it was the legendary Jim Brown, the legendary football player Jim Brown, who was one of the play-by-play commentators for about the first 6-7 Ultimate Fighting Championships shows. And he's actually the guy that gave me the ring name, The Beast, because he's like, well, I wear glasses. So at first he says, you're kind of like a Clark Kent Superman.
But
based on your actions, he says, you're more animal-like, you're more beast-like, the way that you do things. And then and I go, well, and it was ironic because he even said, he says, how can you turn it on like that? And I'm thinking, Jim Brown is asking me a question like this? I used to watch him when I was a young man. When he played football, I mean, this guy.
Amazing.
Wow, what a rushing record that and career that he had. He didn't run around people. He ran over people. Incredible. Retired at such a young age. But and I always tell people, I says, I didn't have to make up my ring name. It was bestowed upon me by a legendary athlete who was profiled in the year 2000 as one of the top 100 athletes in the past millennium. I'm thinking, that's pretty good credentials as far as I'm concerned.
Well, knowing how deadly you can be in the ring, I wanted people to understand the other side of you before we ever went over to that side, because you're one of the, you know, I love being around you because you're funny, for one thing, and you're really inspirational, and you don't believe anything's impossible, and that's why when I saw, and I didn't know that till Stacey wrote that down and sent that out to all the, you know, people who are on, listen to DDP Radio, you know, that what the Beast stood for, I was like, that's so powerful.
No,
you know,
I've always been very positive about everything, and it is where, you know, being about coaching. I coached at two different universities, at Arizona State, Michigan State, and I mean that still my first love is teaching. To be out there on the floor there today, working with these officers, knowing that I can make a difference, but I can not only make a difference, but I can do it in simplicity. They like the fact the way I can break down technique in such simplistic ways. They truly understood it, and it's so much easier to comprehend. And so that's where, again, I have a teaching degree from Arizona State University. So that's where, again, a lot of people think, well, you're just a cage fighter. No, not a cage fighter. I'm a cage competitor. I'm competitive in life. After
right.
all, the life is competition. And we vie for, you know, the best things in this world. We vie for the best mates, things of nature. I mean, it's, you know, life is competition.
Absolutely.
And I'm proud to be one of the champions of life.
And I tell you, every time I watch The Ultimate Fighter, which is one of my favorite shows, I always see you up there holding all the belts, dude. And every time I go, that's so cool. Because every time, you know, you're immortalized there, man, and you earned it. Now, we got a lot of people that are, you know, that are just calling in and listening in. That's what's so cool about the show. They could be driving their car and calling. They could be calling and ask questions. I've got Stacey and Doug here. Do you guys have any questions for Dan before we open it up to anyone else?
Well, I was wondering what, in Dan's opinion, the biggest benefit from practicing mixed martial arts is in terms of fitness.
Well, I mean, in the category of fitness, it just boils right back to it by doing almost anything. Mixed martial arts, again, just it gives you maybe a little bit more of that all-around capability. If you're a boxer, maybe you work a little bit more. Yeah, there's a lot of foot motion that goes with it. A lot of jump rope that goes up, but your predominantly are working on that upper torso. A kickboxer, again, is incorporation more of the legs and the arms. My background being predominantly amateur wrestling, again, it's more the grappling type of skill. So mixed martial arts, what I like about that, I would say out of the clientele that I have coming to my training facility, probably 85-90% of the people that come in there, they have no aspirations of competition, and I don't ever want them to feel like that's what they have to do. They simply want an alternative type of workout. They don't want to go to the gym and walk on a treadmill or work on a stair stepper, or they don't want to just lift weights. They're looking for something different. So working on the hand mitts, working on the heavy bag, working on a speed bag, grabbing a medicine ball, wrestler, having a partner grappling around with, doing some light sparring, doing some light kickboxing, submission grappling. It's such a continuous variety, you know, to go through. There's it's something different that you work on.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you're right. It does have a it deals with, especially when you're younger kids who are starting out. It, you know, it teaches them discipline. You know, it teaches work ethic.
Well, that's what I like. I like the traditional martial arts for what you just said, the discipline, the respect factor, and that's something that I think that the MMA world is losing quickly. When you see, and I can't say it's not across the board, but when you see a lot of the competitors, you know, they look like, well, a lot of them look like thugs, like hoodlums. You know, to me it's like, you know, I know they're all trying to make their mark, whether it be a strange hairdo or something of this nature or what they're wearing, but, you know, again, maybe just because of my age difference compared to theirs, I view things a little bit differently. I really like the way that, like a George St. Pierre, I like the way that a George St. Pierre presents himself. He looks like the professional athlete. The way he dresses, the way he conducts himself, the way he goes after his training habits and stuff like that. Now, you have to grant it, if they were all George St. Pierre's, it would be rather boring.
Yep.
So it's good to have the mixture. When you had Rashad Evans across from Rampage Jackson, you got basically the yin and yang, the good and evil, and these guys are like just going at each other on the Ultimate Fighter show. Or if you have a Brock Lesnar who's out there and he's getting ready to go up against Frank, dropped his last name there. But I mean, you some elements, the trash talking is good stuff. It's good business.
Oh yeah, don't sell the fight.
It's what it is.
You know, I mean,
it tells a story. I mean, and there are some guys that, I mean, it is. There's some legitimate hatred there that is taking place. And like I said, then there's other guys that they're just come across and thinking, well, I would say they have to live with their own decisions. I've made all my own decisions, and I'll live with them.
Hey, well, you know, that it all comes around, and I think that, you know, everybody's out there, you know, they're out there trying to make a buck, they're trying to make a name, you know, they're trying not to get knocked out or tapped out, you know, so, you know, it's all, they're going to get out of it, what they put into it. Now, I got a bunch of people online, which is pretty cool, you know, in the Blog Talk Radio chat room box. Robert, throw that number up again up there on Blog Talk Radio, so if anybody wants to, I've got a bunch of people that are in actually just listening to the show, and I understand that Noah had a question that had something to do with diet or something. That's what Robert sent to me. Noah, are you listening here? Are you on? Noah?
Am I on right now?
You're on right now, Noah. And we opened up floor, but that's what that round table is all about. We go from talking about, you know, what we're talking about to changing subject and then coming back. So what did you want to bring something up about eating plan? Or I never use the word diet because the first three letters of the word diet is what, Noah?
Well, I'm a very intelligent person. I actually, some people say that I know a lot, but you know,
okay.
I'm actually eating ice cream right now, but you know, there's been a lot of said about diets, Dan's diet, but there's a couple secrets, you know, I've heard through the grapevine that, you know, Dan gives, he gives,
TDP, we may have to censor this phone call here right now. I know this man who's on the other end of this line right now. Yes, his name is No-A-Lot. He is a brother from the squared circle. He is sometimes maybe just a little too smart for his britches. He might need to be taken out back behind the woodshed and have a talking to.
Hey, Dan, I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Well, Noah, it's good to have you on the show anyway, bro. So does anybody out there have any questions for Mr. Severn? We'll just keep being Dan, just keep talking forever, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Anybody want to chime in with anything? I love all the shy people we have out there. Contact Rob.
Hey, I wanted to say something.
Yeah, go ahead. Just pop in, dude.
When I met you, Dan, in Atlantic City, I just want to say I could see where you are. You know, you were just class act, a great teacher. Because I know we were talking about YRG and different the MMA stuff and like that. And you know, one of the words I use for DDP, it kind of fits along with you too, and it's just contagious. You just want to be around you because there's so much wealth of knowledge you guys spread. You know, so it was a pleasure meeting you and just kind of sitting there and talking to you.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the kind words. You know, I really enjoyed sharing the space there with DDP and with Doug and other disciples. Yeah, there was a lot of good energy at this event. It was the first time that this James Jefferson was running this MMA Expo, and there was so much going on between bodybuilding contests over here, weightlifting contests over there. They had these martial arts demonstrations taking place. I mean, I was kind of like a kid in a candy store. I was like, I'd be at the booth for a little bit, then I wanted to go and see who was going to be coming up on stage. They had a MMA event one night. They had a kickboxing event the next night. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff taking place all the time, and it was really a great pleasure to be involved, to be one of the attractions, I should say, of something so incredible.
Yeah, we had a good time there and down there at Lake City. It's the first time I've been down there in a long time. And it's it hadn't changed, but I'm a Jersey boy originally, so I was actually there 40 years. I guess it was 40. Yeah, maybe about 35 years ago when they first put that first resorts casino down there. So to see how much it's grown is it's pretty wild. And now we're going to be coming back to Philadelphia to do it again. I want to say it's in April, so that'll be cool. Then we got to Colorado after that, do it out there. What is the fight you have coming up now? How old are you right now, Danny?
Well, I'm 52, and I'll be coming up at the end of this month. I will be up in Moncton, Canada, and I will be competing. I think it will be my biggest age difference yet. There'll be 30 years. He is 22, and I'm 52. And he's basically 6'2", 245, and still young in his career, but he's got a 3-1 record here right now, and he knows what the game plan is. He's got to keep me on my feet. He's got
right.
to keep me on my feet, and he's got to keep some space in between us. But the thing is, his strength is his stand-up ability. But in order for him to strike me, he's got to get within arm's distance. And if he gets within arm's distance, I'm going to be looking to close that distance as quickly as I possibly can. Because once I clinch him, he will never see the light of day again until I decide to cut him loose. I will be. Contagious. I'm going to be ravenous at that point in time.
I love it. I love it. You know, my last big match was WrestleMania, and I believe I was 46 at the time, and Christian was 25, and we were
wow.
out there bumping, and you couldn't tell if you take cut off our heads, you didn't know who was what age, because I was going, as you know, just as hard and doing whatever I got to do. You know, we actually have a listener here. Her name is Sharon, and she's from Alabama, and you recently fought her son. Sharon, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to talk
Hi.
To the man, the beast?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dan.
Well, how are we doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I can't complain whatsoever.
Well, what a pleasure. What a pleasure to speak with you.
You fought
my son, Chad Olmstead, out in Edmonton, Canada.
Yeah. Okay, yes. I was waiting to hear like the last name or something like that so I could kind of put things together. Yeah, Chad, what a wow. I mean, a very powerful young man.
How old is he, Sharon? How old is your son?
Chad is 32.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I emailed you a letter, and we're friends on Facebook, you and I. But
okay.
I thanked you so much for not hurting him.
well, I'm actually, I mean, even though I'm known as a very vicious competitor, I'm always trying to find one of the, I'm trying to find the nicest way to finish matches in a not so nice contest. But I still use ground and pound a great deal and setting things on up. And a lot of matches just finish up with little scarf holds, chokes, or key locks. But, you know,
it
while things are
good,
open.
It was a good team fight, and it was an honor for him to fight you.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Well, I always say that you get what you give, and you know, being out there, I always try to give my opponents their respect. I always say I shake hands before, I shake hands after, no hard feelings. What happens between then and then? But rest assured, there will never be any rules violations taking place. But no, it was my honor actually to be out there with him, because he represents the future where I basically represent the past.
Well, you'll always be in the present past. We got another question here. Thank you, Sharon. We got another question from Jim. Jimbo, you there? Jimbo.
Yes. I actually wanted to ask Dan that, you know, I just wanted to know, he trains all these professional wrestlers, and has he had anybody from his training facility go to the WWE, or if he's prouder than any particular wrestler that he's trained at his facility?
Well, probably the one that received probably the most notoriety, but he's no longer really involved with that, Monty Brown, a.k.a. the Alpha Male.
Oh, yeah.
TNA, and then also with the Fed. But there was some type of a family crisis kind of took place, and he had to had to depart earlier. So, I mean, he'd be probably the most notable. I've had other guys be involved in dark matches. You know, there's a number of young guys that they possess the capabilities. The professional wrestling world is, I mean, and DDP can elaborate. It's not an easy route. I always tell fighters and professional wrestlers the same thing. Definitely have plan B, C, and D going right along with that. I want to be a cage fighter. I want to be a professional wrestler. Please have all these other plans going with it, because it is kind of like trying to become a movie star or something like this. There's a lot of heartbreak that's going to take place, not only heartbreak, but the physical injuries that'll be taking place. The sacrifice, in order to really to be successful at anything, you must sacrifice things. And there's a lot of people that are not willing to sacrifice that, but being on the road, giving up so many different things that you will not see amongst your family and friends for just being on the road. It's a tough lifestyle. I have athletes that have that capability. It is, what are they willing to sacrifice in exchange for it? Because you can't have both.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, thanks for the question, Jimbo. So many times people would come up to me and they go, DDP, God, I want to be a wrestler so bad, man. It's in my blood. I got to have it. I go, really? I go, you got to have it? Like, I mean, I'll do whatever it takes. I said, well, will you drive 600 miles and set up the ring for nothing? They're like, what? Yeah, well, you sleep in your car, you know, because you can't afford, you know, you only made $25 and you can't afford a hotel room when you get to that place, and you're actually going to, you know, set up the ring and then you're going to do the first match for $25. I go, well, that's how most guys start. They don't start out being on TV, and that's what they think. Well, I'm going to learn how to wrestle. And so many guys, my buddy Marlon, he went down that, you know, he wanted to be a wrestler, like so many other people, more than anybody. And there were days, this spring in Chicago, wasn't Windy City, but it was one of the organizations up there, and they had, like, you could come in and try out for the weekend. They probably charge you like $200. And then by the time he got done with that day, hitting that mat where you can't fake gravity, he was like, F this, I'm out of here. This is way realer than I thought, you know? And, you know, it's one of those things that when you're going into, whether it's acting or wrestling or UFC fighting or trying to be a professional basketball player, football, you're talking about the elite. The elite of the elite. And when you look at something like wrestling, now one thing about UFC fighting, you pretty much, everybody, and that's why I think it has such amazing responses. I mean, it's really what I watch now.
more than anything. But it's because anybody can do it. They can go and learn it. Like you said, you're training people. They may never fight, but what a great conditioning that you may have. I mean, it might be Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You know, it could be karate. It could be boxing. It could be anything, just wrestling, all these different things mixed into one. So everybody sort of has a feel for it. But professional wrestling, Danny, and you know because you did it too at a high level, that there's a handful of us that ever leave that backyard wrestling or the independent circuit, they get on TV and ever hold any kind of a belt, you know? So yeah. It's really, it is earned at a whole different level. And it comes down to, again, what are you willing to do? How much are you willing to give up? What do you want? Now let's take this whole back to YRG, which is, give us your new definition of YRG, Dan.
Oh, it's, you're right back to
year-round growth. Year-round growth. I love that, man. You're ready, go. Year-round growth. It's all about what are you willing to put into it. You know, and when I talk to people about losing weight, because so much of this, even though this workout had nothing to do with losing weight, you know, it was just about getting my back strong and my core strong to get me back in the ring when three doctors told me my career was over. So many people have lost so many, you know, so much amazing amounts of weight because they mixed the proper lifestyle change, not diet, the proper lifestyle change with a program that can be done at its easiest level or what you saw, Dan, which was its warrior level. And I'm gonna segue into Mike Gallianos, who was there, who was our man who was 377 and 5'4" when he started doing YRG and became part of Team YRG. And anybody who's listening who's never heard about this before, what's this YRG thing all about? Don't take my word for it, or Dan's word for it, or Stacy's, or Doug's, or anybody's. Go to Team YRG, and you can find it on DiamondDallasPage.com, or just go to TeamYRG.com and sign up and watch what happens. Watch the people that come by and want to inspire you because they were inspired, and it's like that's why I love having Dan Severin being the kickoff show here to 2011, because this is one of the most inspirational cats I know who walks the talk. He just don't spill the shit. He walks the talk. He lives it. And just by so many examples you've heard tonight, but the guy who I was talking about, Michael Gallianos, he wanted to just thank you for when he met you. Michael, you there?
Hey, Dallas. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Good to have you on the show, man.
Good to be on the show. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Michael.
Dan, I want to thank you for being so cool to me at the MMA convention and for saying all the cool words you said to me.
Oh, no. I was from the heart there, my friend, from the heart.
Oh, you really inspired me. Thank you so much.
Well, I did. Just, you know, watching and seeing what you're doing, stuff. I just to know where you came from. I mean, brother, keep up the good work there. You've overcome an awful lot. And the sky is yours. It's whatever you want to set your goals to. You've accomplished so much. It's whatever you want to set here. We're in the new year, 2011. I'm a big advocate of, not that I'm looking at doing New Year's resolution. I have running goals all the time, what I want to do for myself athletically, what I want to do for myself physically, what I want to do in my with my own family, what I want to do with my business. I mean, I have goals in all different categories that there. Please set yourself some great goals because, I mean, for what you have achieved already, sky is the limit, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I believe we have Sharon again who had another question for you, Danny. Yeah, Sharon, you got something else for Dan the Man?
Yes.
Yes, Sharon. Go ahead.
Dan, I got a question. Yes. What do you think about the fight with George St. Pierre in Toronto against Jake? How do you feel about that one?
You know, I really. When is that coming up? Is that coming up here soon or? Because I know
Toronto,
they love
that. In April.
In April. I mean, the reality is George St. Pierre, he does his homework. He studies his opponent. Each time he steps inside of the octagon, he adds a different element to his repertoire. I mean, for someone that has never wrestled a day in his life, you would never know it. He works out regularly with the Canadian Olympic wrestling team, and basically he does really well. He could, from what I've been told, He can even make their Olympic team if that's what he aspires to do. So he's just an overall great athlete. So, you know, I know more about George than what I do about Jake, though.
I live in Alabama right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Canadian. I'm flying to Toronto to go to this fight.
Okay.
From Alabama. And I'm all for George. All for George.
Well, like I said, I'm a great supporter because that's one of the number one questions when asked me, who do I like in the MMA world today? And I always bring up George St. Pierre, again, because of the way that he represents himself and the way that he prepares himself. But as I said earlier, from the entertainment aspect, they all can't be George St. Pierre. It's good
right.
to see that mixture, that colorful characters interacting when you watch, whether you watch a UFC pay-per-view or if you watch, like, even better probably, that the Ultimate Fighter show, when they show just the clashes of these two coaches, not only just the two coaches, but even the two different teams of athletes, how they kind of take on different, well, they have some of their own personality traits anyway, but it's, you like a good mixture of oil and water, I guess, at times.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
Dan.
There, Sharon.
I appreciate it. And
enjoy that trip.
And on the 22nd of this month, we got Tim Hughes fighting for the troops.
Oh, right up in down in Alabama.
No. USC on the 22nd of this month of July. Tim Hughes is from Edmonton, Alberta.
Okay,
he's
all right, got you, got
you. He's an awesome fighter, and I went to Las Vegas to see him fight. And that's
wow.
where I met so many fighters. I met so many fighters there because I was
VIP. One of the nicest. Yep. I think that's one of the nicest parts about a lot of times either prior to the show, the athletes that are walking around, even more is when you go to the functions that take place. Again, just you get a chance to see these athletes in a much more relaxed type of setting, and you find that a lot of them are very, very much down to earth and to speak to.
Oh, very cool. Thank you, Sean. We got another question here. Do you have a question there, Dougie?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in a room here, and I got a few people asking me to ask some questions.
Sure, go ahead.
One is from Henry.
What's Henry want to know?
You know what? He's going to talk about injuries. He wants to know if Dan has ever dealt with a torn rotator or labrum.
No, not. I've been very fortunate. I've had injuries, and I don't elaborate too much about some of my injuries because why? I'm still competing out there, and I don't wish to get my opponents any upper hand on me whatsoever. But rest assured, I've had probably more than my fair share of injuries. But again, that's just that use and abuse. But on a kind of the ironic part though is I've been hurt far worse in my professional wrestling career than I have been in all my cage fight matches, and even which is almost a contradiction in terms.
Right.
But more yet in my amateur wrestling career than the previous two, but it's only because and over the abundance of matches that I have had in my amateur wrestling career as opposed to all the professionals' matches and all the cage bouts.
Yeah, it's it's one of the reasons why Brock left. You know, and let me ask you this, Danny. We even talked about this. Of course, we all saw Brock and drop the strap.
Velasquez.
What an animal! When Brock took him down and he bounced up like a cat. It wasn't like, you know, me taking him down or freaking, you know, Joe Sunday taking him down. It was Brock Lesnar taking him down. And he popped up like he weighed like 210. He was a hell of a. And I heard he got injured, so he can't have his next fight. What do you think is going to be happening with Brock? I think Brock's going to. Oh, I want to hear what you think. What do you think is going to happen with Brock?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think he'll come back again. I mean, the reality is, being a competitor, being an athlete, You know, Brock knows that he has to continue to add more elements to his game. So I think that, you know, like a lot of high-level athletes, you know, it's hard for a person to accept a loss to where, you know, the difference there on that was, I mean, Kane, his strikes, he hit his mark.
Right.
And I just think that if it was, you know, if they were to go again, I think that Brock learned something through the process of this, or he would come up as a different competitor. I can't say that there would be a different result here right now, but I think that there would be a different competitor. Brock was also a high-level amateur wrestler from the Minnesota University, and Kane Vasquez from Arizona State University. So both of them, again, had amateur wrestling backgrounds.
Yeah, it was not what I expected, but I do expect Brock to, you know, take it on the chin and come back better than ever. And you know, he's at that monster level competitor. So I'm looking forward to his return whenever that is. From what I understand, the hearsay, the scuttlebutt I hear on the street is that he's holding out for WrestleMania, because there's a big payday in a WrestleMania for him there if he wants that. So I hope he gets it. I hope he gets it all. And you know, if you can do both and have the entertainment side and have the steel cage side, you know, more lucrative to your family, and you know you can control your destiny a little bit more as well.
Yeah.
So
You kind of touched a little bit on that earlier, actually, as you first began the show with there. It's important. I mean, it's one thing to make some wealth. A lot of people don't realize how to invest it or how to save towards the future. The reality is a lot of these young fighters, a lot of these young professional wrestlers, they think now that they're working for this big-time company, that they're making this good money, that it will never end. The reality is it will end. And it will end when you least expect it. Did you at least salt enough of this away so that you can continue to take care of yourself and your family later on in life? And that's where a
Absolutely.
Lot of people come up a little bit short, because they did not have that kind of good advice or to do something along those lines. So that's, again, something that I try to advise for these young athletes, whether they're trying to aspire into either or career, is, you know, save your money, invest your money, you know, because that rainy day will come sooner or later.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now we got one more question for Calvin, then we're going to wrap it up. But Calvin, you still out there?
Yep.
Hey, Calvin.
Hey, Dan.
Oh, this is Calvin Hamilton?
Yep.
How are you doing there, Calvin? Calvin, DDB just give you an idea that Calvin is a pro-level MMA fighter trainer at my training facility there in Coldwater, Michigan. So,
oh, very cool.
Calvin, I'm actually trying to get him on. There's a show that's going to be taking place in Michigan at the end of towards the end of February 18th exactly, at the Palace of Auburn Hills, and I'm going to be one of the competitors on there, and I'm hoping to get Calvin on there too at the 205 weight class.
Oh, sweet!
I don't have confirmation on that yet, but I'm talking to the promoter about that. Did you have a question, though, Calvin?
Oh, I was just wondering when he's coming back.
I should be heading back there in just a couple days. You know, that actually makes me feel good, because it missed me, but at the same token, you know, you got good people that are there, but
very cool.
You know, when I step out on the mat, I bring a whole different type of element. I bring a different type of energy. I mean, the guys, they like having me out there because, first off, I'm kind of like a father figure because of my age to a lot of them, and I help to inspire them to keep doing things. Because even like earlier today, being involved in that law enforcement class, I definitely was the senior citizen. And, you know, you got a lot of these younger guys are like, well, I can't do this, I can't do this. And then they realize, well, gee, I'm 20-something years younger than this guy. I should be able to do this. You know?
Right. Right. You know, we've been talking about people wanting, you know, to live their dreams or go after, you know, whether it's, you know, UFC-style fighting, MMA, mixed martial arts, you know, professional wrestling, you know, whatever it is. You know, what it really comes down to is you got to put your backbone where your wishbone is. You know?
Yep.
And that's how we're going to close it out here today. I want to remind everybody who's listening that next week, I'm not sure what the topic will be, but we'll be back here live on the show. I'll be in Atlanta at the time. And the following week will be Mark Merrow, and he'll be talking about his book, How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet. Looking forward to him. Speaking of Mark Merrow, if you go to DiamondDallasPage.com and you join The Real DDP video blogs. I've been putting a lot of blogs up lately, but also every Wednesday is Wrestling Wednesdays, and I just happened to be, just out of by accident, in my feud with Mark Merrow as he's about to come on the show. And this week I'll be talking about having our second match that we had in the pay-per-view. So to hear some of the behind-the-scenes stuff on that match, check out The Real DDP video blog and subscribe to that. And a lot of people have been asking, because I've been talking about it, talking about is My Picky Eaters. Angela's My Picky Eaters, a lot of the product we have figured out how to, from our chocolate chip cookies. Dan, you got to try some of these. I'm going to send you some when we get it all together and we start shipping. Got the chocolate chip. Now, this is gluten-free, wheat-free, and dairy-free. And this is the healthiest sweets you can eat that taste better than any sweet you've ever eaten. Our chocolate chip cookies are off the hook. Chocolate chip walnut is equally off the hook. Then we've got brownies that are amazing. We've got three different kinds of muffins. We've got blueberry muffins, cranberry walnut muffins, and we've got chocolate chip muffins that are just to die for. Now, these are all things we're going to have on our first run setting out and shipping out, because we can ship those out easily. We don't have to freeze everything and, and pack them a certain way. But later on will come the cupcakes and the cakes and all the different things that will be your reward for working so hard. And if you're trying to lose weight, you want to do it you want to use it as a reward at the end of the month. Like you lost, 6 pounds or 12 pounds or in, Matt Vesick's spot, he lost 20 pounds this month. Our man Rich, who started at 606 pounds on his last weigh-in, he lost another 20 pounds. So he's down 54 pounds in 4 months. And Rich has started a video blog too, but I don't have the name of his, but you can probably find out on Team YRG. And I encourage you to go on and subscribe to Matt Vesick's Never Been Fatter. And I got to find out Rich's. I'll be talking about it next week. As a matter of fact, I might bring Rich on the show next week. Yeah, I think I will. If he's free for work, I'm going to see if he'll come on, because I know our girl Stacy is actually going to be in California while I leave. This weekend, if you're in West Virginia or anywhere near West Virginia, I will be, and I'm sure you've been here at one time or another, Dan, I will be in the hills of Bluefield, West Virginia this weekend at a show. Promoter, his name is Ernie from East Coast Wrestling, and I'm coming in there just to sign autographs, take pictures, be the commissioner for the night, and I'm sure someone will get hit with a diamond cutter at some point. I want to see Robert. I got a troop selection. What did you say there, Robert? What do you want to say about the troops? Oh, you have the troops selection.
It went up just before we went live on the show.
Oh, great, great. So, a lot of, you guys all know that I think the war is bullshit, but I am a huge supporter of the warrior. And I've been to Afghanistan once, I've been to Iraq three separate occasions. Unfortunately, I've come home all too often and had someone send me an email saying their son didn't make it back. I got one time, the one who started off was Chris Simpson and his uncle. So it's the title of the subject was DDP Fan Dies in Line of Duty. And I was like, oh boy. And I read that email and I wrote them back the most heartfelt email. And we got to remember, I'm ADD and dyslexic. So if you can imagine me, 4 hours to write this letter. And I was flying from LA to Atlanta, and the stewardess was coming up to me because I'm getting welled up, I'm getting teared up and stuff. And she's like, she goes, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. This is pretty heavy, And so what I decided to do, because I just got another one that was sent to me, and this young man, he went down, he'd gone down three, I was there 3 years ago, last time I was in Iraq. I was in Afghanistan in 2008, but 2007 I was in, last time I was in Iraq, his dad just sent me, you know, an update on him. So what I decided to do was on DiamondDallasPage.com, I have DDP and our troops. And it's got me, you know, doing, you know, taking pictures with them and, you know, telling stories about being in Afghanistan or being in Iraq and, you know, doing YRG with them. And I have a section that's right, on, you know, that's on the main page. That's warriors, fallen warriors that I've had the honor of getting to know. And I've got a little brief thing if you want to, you know, want to see them, and you know that's on, it's on the site now. And you know, all these, what I've really found so much is so many of these parents, you know, they just don't want their, you know, their warriors to be forgotten. And I know in my head they're not. I know in your head they're not, Daddy. You know, and Dougie's a full, you know, a disabled veteran himself. You know, and so is Arthur. You know, so. You know, and you know, that's just one of the things that go around. I want people to know that's up there. If you want to go by DiamondDallasPage.com to sign up for the real DDP blog, video blog, or you know, become a part of Team YRG while you're there, definitely check out the troops section. Robert worked his ass off. He got it up there. Again, I want to close out with My Picky Eaters. We will have it. Our goal is to have it up and having stuff for sale by the third week of January, no later than the last week of January, because Angela came up with a whole Valentine's Day theme, from the big Valentine's cookie, the big one, you know, instead of eating, you know, the Mrs. Fields, which I would think, you know, I consider garbage cookie, now you can get the healthier cookie to taste even better. And we've got a bunch of different Valentine's items that you put on there, so be looking for that. I'll be talking about it over the next couple of weeks, but I want you to be aware of it. And I want to also finish up. Dan said about running goals. You know, when I did my blog for the new year, I never do New Year's resolutions because I think they're bullshit. You know, I'm going to change because it's a new year. I'm going to change right now. And, you know, it's all about running goals. You know, back to Dan is really stressed on so many things today. And, you know, coming back to, you know, so you got to put your backbone where your wishbone is. You want to lose weight. You want to get in shape. You want to feel better. You want to change your life. You want to own your life. You got to put your backbone behind the wishbone. I want to thank Dan the Beast Severin. It is such a pleasure to have you on here. I want to thank Stacy and Doug for coming on and being along with the ride, and all, everybody who checked in today. All I can say is you've been wonderful. You've been marvelous, but see ya.
You love me. You hate me. You'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the...
No high five.